God is able to deliver us, but if not, we will not serve your gods. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 461. It is May the 2nd, 2016. Well, today one of our pilgrims will leave Vanity Fair alive. The other, well, let's just read about it. We're going through Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. And the men have gotten to Vanity Fair, a place that is no friend to grace, for sure. And they're being abused. And Bunyan says, "But the men, being patient, and not rendering railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, and giving good words for bad, and kindness for injuries done, some men in the fair that were more observing and less prejudiced than the rest began to check and blame the baser sort for their continual abuses done by them to the men. They therefore, in angry manner, let fly at them again, counting them as bad as the men in the cage, and telling them that they seemed confederates and should be made partakers of their misfortunes. The other replied that for aught they could see, the men were quiet and sober, and intended nobody any harm, and that there were many that traded in their fare, and that were more worthy to be put into the cage, yea, and the pillory too, than were the men that were being abused. Thus, after divers words had passed on both sides, the men behaving themselves all the while very wisely and soberly before them, they fell to some blows among themselves, and did harm one to another. Then were these two poor men brought before their examiners again, and there charged as being guilty of the late hubbub that had been in the fair. So they beat them pitifully, and hanged irons upon them, and led them in chains up and down the fair, for an example and a terror to others, lest any should further speak in their behalf or join themselves unto them. But Christian and Faithful behaved themselves yet more wisely, and received the ignominy and shame that was cast upon them with so much meekness and patience that it won to their side, though but few in comparison of the rest, several of the men in the fair. This put the other party yet into a greater rage, insomuch that they concluded the death of these two men. Wherefore they threatened that neither cage nor irons should serve their turn, but that they should die for the abuse they had done, and for deluding the men of the fair. Then were they remanded to the cage again, until further order should be taken with them. And so they put them in, and made their feet fast in the stocks. Here also they called again to mind what they had heard from their faithful friend Evangelist, and were the more confirmed in their ways and sufferings by what he told them would happen to them. They also now comforted each other, that whose lot it was to suffer, even he should have the best on it. Therefore each man secretly wished that he might have that preferment. But committing themselves to the all-wise, dispose of him that ruleth all things, with much content they abode in the condition in which they were, until they should be otherwise disposed of. Then a convenient time being appointed, they brought them forth to their trial, in order to their condemnation. When the time was come, they were brought before their enemies and arraigned. Now the judge's name was Lord Hategood. Their indictment was one and the same in substance, though somewhat varying in form, the contents whereof was this, that they were enemies to and disturbers of their trade, that they had made commotions and divisions in the town, and had won a party to their own most dangerous opinions, in contempt of the law of their prince. Then Faithful began to answer, that he had only set himself against that which had set itself against him, that is higher than the highest? And said he, as for disturbance, I make none, being myself a man of peace. The parties that were won to us were won by beholding our truth and innocence, and they are only turned from the worse to the better. And as to the king you talk of, since he is Beelzebub, the enemy of our Lord, I defy him and all his angels. Well, then proclamation was made that they that had ought to say for their lord the king against the prisoner at the bar should forthwith appear and give in their evidence. So there came in three witnesses, to wit, envy, superstition, and pickthank. They were then asked if they knew the prisoner at the bar and what they had to say for their lord the king against him. Then stood forth envy and said to this effect, My lord, I have known this man a long time, and I will attest upon my oath before this honorable bench that he is... Judge interrupts, Hold! Give him his oath. And so they swear him. Then he said, My lord, this man, notwithstanding his plausible name, is one of the vilest men in our country. He neither regardeth prince nor people, law nor custom, but doth all that he can to possess all men with certain of his disloyal notions, which he in the general calls principles of faith and holiness. And in particular, I heard him once myself affirm that Christianity and the customs of our town of Vanity were diametrically opposite and could not be reconciled. By which saying, my lord, he doth at once not only condemn all our laudable doings, but us in the doing of them. The judge says, Then did the judge say to him, Well, hast thou any more to say? My lord, I could say much more, only I would not be tedious to the court. Yet, if need be, when the other gentlemen have given in their evidence, rather than anything shall be wanting that will dispatch him, I will enlarge my testimony against him. And so he was bid to stand by. And then they called Superstition and bid him look upon the prisoner. They also asked what he could say for their lord the king against him. Then they swear him, and so he began. My lord, I have no great acquaintance with this man, nor do I desire to have further knowledge of him. However, this I know, that he is a very pestilent fellow, from some discourse that the other day I had with him in this town. For then, talking with him, I heard him say that our religion was naught, and such by which a man could by no means please God. Which saying of his, my lord, your lordship very well knows what necessarily thence will follow, to wit, that we still do worship in vain, are yet in our sins, and finally shall be damned. And this is that which I have to say. Then was Pickthank sworn, and bid say what he knew in the behalf of their lord the king against the prisoner at the bar. My lord, and you gentlemen all, this fellow I have known of a long time, and I have heard him speak things that ought not to be spoke, for he hath railed on our noble prince Beelzebub, and hath spoke contemptibly of his honorable friends, whose names are the Lord Old Man, the Lord Carnality Delight, the Lord Luxurious, the Lord Desire of Vainglory, my old Lord Lechery, Sir Having Greedy, and with all the rest of our nobility. And he hath said, moreover, that if all men were of his mind, if possible, there is not one of these noblemen should have any longer a being in this town. Besides, he hath not been afraid to rail on you, my lord, who are now appointed to be his judge, calling you an ungodly villain, with many other such like vilifying terms, with which he hath bespattered most of the gentry of our town. When this Pickthank had told his tale, the judge directed his speech to the prisoner at the bar, saying, Thou renegade, heretic and traitor? Hast thou heard what these honest gentlemen have witnessed against thee? Faithful says, may I speak a few words in my own defense? Sirrah, sirrah, thou deservest to live no longer, but to be slain immediately upon the place. Yet that all men may see our gentleness towards thee, let us see what thou hast to say. Faithful, I say then, in answer to what Mr. Envy has spoken, I never said aught but this, that what rule or laws or custom or people were flat against the word of God are diametrically opposite to Christianity. Now, if I have said amiss in this, convince me of my error. I'm ready here before you to make my recantation. As to the second, to wit, Mr. Superstition, and his charge against me, I said only this, that in the worship of God there is required a divine faith. But there can be no divine faith without a divine revelation of the will of God. Therefore, whatever is thrust into the worship of God that is not agreeable to divine revelation cannot be done but by an human faith, which faith will not profit to eternal life. And as to what Mr. Pickthank has said, I say, avoiding terms, as that I am said to rail and the like, that the prince of this town, with all the rabblement, his attendants, by this gentleman named, are more fit for being in hell than in this town and country. And so, the Lord have mercy upon me. And then the judge now in your breasts to hang him or save his life. But I think meet to instruct you into our law. And there was an act made in the days of Pharaoh the Great, servant to our prince, that lest those of a contrary religion should multiply and grow too strong for him, their males should be thrown into the river. There was also an act made in the days of Nebuchadnezzar the Great, another of his servants, that whoever would not fall down and worship his golden image should be thrown into a fiery furnace. There was also an act made in the days of Darius, that whoso for some time called upon any god but him should be cast into the lion's den. Now, the substance of these laws this rebel has broken, not only in thought, which is not to be borne, but also in word and deed, which must therefore needs be intolerable. For that of Pharaoh, his law was made upon a supposition to prevent mischief, no crime being yet apparent. But here is a crime apparent. And for the second and third, you see he disputeth against our religion. And for the treason he hath confessed, he deserveth to die the death. Then went the jury out, whose names were Mr. Blind Man, Mr. No Good, Mr. Malice, Mr. Love Lust, Mr. Live Loose, Mr. Heady, Mr. High Mind, Mr. Enmity, Mr. Liar, Mr. Cruelty, Mr. Hate Light, and Mr. Implacable, who every one gave in his private verdict against him among themselves, and afterwards unanimously concluded to bring him in guilty before the judge. And first among themselves, Mr. Blind Man, the foreman, said, I see clearly that this man is a heretic. Then said Mr. No Good, away with such a fellow from the earth. Aye, said Mr. Malice, for I hate the very looks of him. And then said Mr. Lovelust, I could never endure him. Nor I, said Mr. Liveloose, for he would always be condemning my way. Hang him, said Mr. Heady. A sorry scrub, said Mr. Highmind. My heart riseth against him, said Mr. Enmity. He is a rogue, said Mr. Liar. Hanging is too good for him, said Mr. Cruelty. Let's dispatch him out of the way, said Mr. Hate Light. And then said Mr. Implacable, might I have all the world given me? I could not be reconciled to him. And therefore let us forthwith bring him in guilty of death. And so they did. Therefore he was presently condemned to be had from the place where he was to the place from whence he came, and there to be put to the most cruel death that could be invented. They therefore brought him out, to do with him according to their law. And first they scourged him, then they buffeted him, then they lanced his flesh with knives. After that they stoned him with stones, and then pricked him with their swords, and last of all they burnt him to ashes at the stake. Thus came faithful to his end. And the end of our reading for the day also. What will happen to Christian now? Is he going to move on with confidence or be afraid or come back tomorrow? We'll pick up there. I'd like to remind you that on this website that you have entered to, www.sermonaudio.com/aservant70, that we've got all kinds of teachings, and one particular group are prophecy studies. I would like you to look through there. You'll find all kinds of end-time prophecy studies that I've gained and gleaned through the years of just studying the Bible to see what the Bible actually said. I hope you check those out. Tomorrow we continue. Remember that Daniel 3:17, where we began today, says, "Our God is able to deliver us, but if not, we will not serve your gods." Amen.